You're listening to NativeTalk.net. Audio files are available online at NativeTalk.net. If you listen to the whole show today, beginning to end, you'll become the first person to ever do it. And that's something you can brag about to your friends. Unless you're Cliff, and then you don't have any. Be a part of the program by emailing us, podcast@NativeTalk.net. And now, your hosts, Cliff and Brandon. Crank it up and set off your airbag.
What?
Now grab your nets and let's go fishing.
Good morning. Welcome to the NativeTalk.net radio program. So glad you could join us. Brandon is working. Apparently he has a job, something about keeping his lights on at home or something. I don't know.
That's overrated.
It really is. You know, you can he can always just get one of those tiny homes.
Exactly.
Up in Washington State.
Exactly. They seem to be going well, so.
Well, at least we got Ron here, so it's good to have you back.
Bonjour, everyone.
Hopefully you come up to see me for more reasons than just doing the show.
I'm just looking for my 10 seconds of fame, and I don't want to pick up an email. It's much easier to just walk in and do that.
Yeah, well, now you got a microphone, so you can join us from your own house without driving all the way, and hopefully at some point we can get me, you, and Brandon doing a show all together, because we've only been able to do that once. And I thought it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, so, yeah, I think it went real well.
Looking forward to doing that again. But for now, it is me and Ron today. So you can email the show. Let us know what you have to say. podcast@nativetalk.net. Or you can call and leave us a message. 970-278-5791 is the phone. And it'll do the for those of you millennials who have no idea what voicemail is, you'll hear a computer tell you, you have reached 970-278-5791. Leave a message after the tone. And I have a phone call here that came in. Definitely not a faked phone call. This is real. Mm-hmm. Let's listen.
Hello? Hey, hello? Is this NativeTalk.net? My name's Mike. I guess I'm leaving a message. You can call me Mike, and I'm calling because you told me to call you at 970-278-5791, so I'm calling you because this is my first time calling, but I'm a long-time listener, and I'm calling to tell you about my mattress store where I sell mattresses. The store is called We the People, and it's a Native American-themed mattress store. You know, like George Washington and Thomas Jefferson, the original Americans who are native to America. And what I tell my customers is we hold these truths to be self-evident that all prices are not created equal. So buy my mattresses. I like mattresses. Hello? Okay, bye.
That was not painful to listen to at all.
he had to pay for zero advertising on that.
And it's amazing how unlike my own voice that guy sounded.
Absolutely. I thought I was listening to a complete stranger rather than the person across from me.
Yeah, what I definitely did not do is use my cell phone to call that number and leave myself a message.
That makes sense. Next time you got to put down eggs, cheese, milk, things like that you can refer back to when you're going to the grocery store.
Right. Okay, so here's a story. You're on a boat. Have you ever been on a boat?
A couple dozen
times.
You
go boating?
Yeah, yeah. Being in Michigan, it's kind of a way of life out there.
What do you do if you're out on your boat and the engine dies and the battery's dead? You're stuck out there.
Get a paddle or an oar, or you try with a flare gun to catch someone's attention.
Okay, so you catch someone's attention. What if your radio is working?
Radio, just radio out.
Okay, call the Coast Guard maybe?
Yeah, or just like a park ranger or DNR if they have a... If
well, this
available.
This is out in the, like, the sea.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So, southwest of Point Loma, members of the Coast Guard cutter Sea Otter arrived at the stranded boat, want to help him out, and they go, oh, you know, you've got a dead battery. Oh, we can help you out with that. So as they start to charge the battery, help the guys out, they also notice more than 50 bundles of weed weighing 1,200 pounds.
Oh, my God.
Senior Chief Petty Officer Justin Eaton said in a statement, Working together with multiple Coast Guard assets, we were able to make another seizure and slow down the flow of illegal drugs into America. It's never an individual effort, but always a team effort that make these cases so successful. So, if you're stranded on your boat and you also have 1,200 pounds of drugs on board, maybe not call the Coast Guard.
You know what? Just get those oars out again, like I was talking about, and just start hoping you get to land soon, because that, or you can just, you know, go right to jail.
Now, it's interesting that that I bring up that topic, because marijuana seems to be sweeping the nation.
Mm-hmm.
It's becoming legal in more places than it ever has been before. Mm-hmm. I think Colorado was first.
Yep. Washington, actually. I think Washington State was the first one to push it. Colorado followed right afterwards, but Washington still had a black market issue going on, that apparently it was easier to get it and it was less effective, from what I understand from certain things that I've read on the internet. But what's another interesting thing is Canada, the prime minister there, Trudeau, I think is his name, he's actually sweeping it countrywide to be completely legal.
How do you feel about that?
I'm not one way or the other. I feel like if you have the ability to go to a liquor store and get a six pack of beer, you should be able to drive to a store and get a joint.
Yeah, that's always been an argument. People say it's as safe as liquor, to which I say, you're not selling me on it, because liquor destroys a lot of families.
Oh, absolutely.
Causes a lot of problems. So when you say it's as safe as liquor is, I don't know.
I wouldn't say it's as safe. I would say that you, as an adult, if you want to do those types of things and you're not affecting your family, affecting people around you or anything along those lines, like alcohol can do. And I mean, obviously Colorado, they have a big movement of, you know, don't get high and drive and things like that. So
that's illegal.
As long as you're not affecting somebody else's life in an exact way, in a negative way, I feel like you should be able to do.
So let people do what they want to do, basically.
Right. And not only that, you've seen a massive increase in the tax dollars that have been brought in just by people going to these new dispensaries here in Colorado. Roads have now been fixed. Schools have now been upgraded. So is there positives to it? Yes. Is there negatives to it? Yes. But again, you
know. That's why this is one of those cases where I've always personally been against it. I wouldn't vote for it. But I can also look around and see, that's the way the country's going.
Right.
You know, exactly. People, if people want it, who am I to stand in the way? It's just, for me, it's not a battle worth fighting.
No, yeah. You have to have a dog in the fight, you know.
And I really don't.
Yeah.
So when it comes to a vote, I'll vote against it. But if the folks of that state or the country have overwhelmingly shown that they want access to it, you know, if I'm a representative or somebody,
mm-hmm.
regardless of what your personal values are, your job is to represent your constituency.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's what they want, let them have it.
Right.
How about the native tribes on their reservations? Our tribe opened up a dispensary.
Mm-hmm.
It's called, so our casino is, for the Puyallup tribe, it's called the Emerald Queen Casino.
Okay.
Okay. I wanted our new dispensary store to be called the Emerald Green Dispensary.
Play on words. There you go.
I thought it was the way to go. They called it, I forget what they call it, but they call it something else. And I'm like, where's the fun in that Emerald Green? It's right there.
Well, it's like they have. I think I always hear commercials on the radio when I'm driving around. It's Star Buds instead of Starbucks. And apparently they have a very similar logo to Starbucks, I guess. I don't know. I've never personally seen one, but I hear it on radio all the time.
Okay. I did not know they were advertising now.
Yeah. Yeah. They've definitely broken into the radio. Not so much television, but definitely radio.
Well, if you're going down to Las Vegas and enter the Paiute Reservation,
mm-hmm.
you'll soon pass a smoke shop, cigar and tobacco retail store that reportedly brings in 90% of the tribe's revenue, which ain't that much.
No.
They've got shabby homes, and you can see the gaudy signs of the palatial casinos that line the Las Vegas Strip just 6 miles south. So this is just north of the city.
Okay.
The current population there is less than 5 dozen members.
Oh, wow.
That is small.
Oh, yeah.
Finally, you'll arrive at your destination. The community center, where a job fair just started 10 minutes ago in this story.
Right, right.
This author, this is from a guy who's, you know, doing an article. So just imagine, you know, you walk in, you've got a job fair attracting almost 100 people. Seats are running out. People are sitting down. They're here to be hired as cashiers and greeters, inventory clerks, and bud tenders at the New Woo Cannabis Marketplace, a colossal recreational marijuana store set to open within sights of Sin City. So it's going to still be on the reservation.
Right.
But, I mean, think about that. 6 miles north of the Strip?
Yeah.
You don't think people are going to drive up there to hook it up with some weed?
Well, and is... I wonder if Nevada, did they pass it? Is it legal there?
I don't know. They're opening a weed store, so
right, so they must have passed it.
Oh, yeah, look at this. A state that only recently legalized pot.
Okay, yeah. So then, yeah, I was gonna say, wow, they're gonna have some troubles with that, because especially if you have the federal government, they just break into stores in California because it hadn't been legalized yet, yeah. And they were taking stuff out. So
they're opening a 15,000 square foot facility that is the largest recreational marijuana dispensary in the entire country.
It's the Walmart of pot.
They believe it represents the best chance for the Paiutes to survive in their 31-acre nation after years of dwindling population and revenue.
Absolutely.
I mean, things ain't going too well for them.
No.
So this is like a way for them to cash in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing about like gambling casinos. The state has to like legalize it in some form, and then the tribes can take part of that.
Absolutely, yeah.
So I don't think this is a bad thing.
No, it's bringing in revenue dollars into an otherwise, like you said, 5 dozen tribal members.
Yeah, and yeah. This you're talking about potentially $100 million a year, mm-hmm. in additional revenue.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge.
Oh yeah. Well, I think Colorado just hit the billion mark with its tax dollars and revenue from the marijuana industry. So, and I mean, you can't go anywhere here in Denver anymore without seeing. I think it's a green plus sign is what they're like.
Oh, is that how they advertise it?
I think that's what it is. I have no idea though, but yeah.
Well, and you know what this is going to do, because you've got 5 dozen members who live on the reservation. You know, there are other tribal members who live elsewhere,
yep.
But if you've got jobs and you know, ways to connect in, mm-hmm. that's going to bring people back.
Absolutely. And it's going to help.
I'm not opposed to that.
Yep. Help them build the community again.
Nationwide. Other tribes are doing the same mental calculus there. If they invest in pot, you know, maybe they can find a way. I mean, because you don't have to be a reservation to be cashing in on this stuff.
No.
You've got people who are starting their own operations, opening their own stores. They get in the licensing. Mm-hmm. They're making massive amounts of money.
Oh, yeah.
And the only thing that they're running into is if you they can't put it in banks because it's not federally legal. Guess what? Tribes don't have that problem.
No.
Because they're like a governmental organization. They don't have to try to have mountains of hundreds and, you mm-hmm. know, 20s and stuff in their houses risking people breaking in.
Right.
Or it being seized by the federal government.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, in my opinion, it seems like tribes are better prepared to profit off this than almost anybody else.
Oh, absolutely. Well, not only that, but they, you know, jurisdict themselves as well. So they can place regulations and laws on it that otherwise they wouldn't have already established.
You know, and I understand the idea on putting businesses like this and others on reservations because you don't have to pay taxes. You get mm-hmm. to keep all of the money. But at some point, I've always wondered why tribes don't branch out. Can't you use that money to buy a store or land or something that's not on trust land?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you have to pay property taxes. Yes, you can't do all of the same things that you do on the reservation. But a business is a business and money is money,
mm-hmm.
you know? And if there's a profitable area and you can do it, why be content with what you have?
When you could get what you...
Be like everyone else.
Exactly. Expand.
And if you if it's somewhere nearby, you can even apply to have that put into trust land.
Exactly. Exactly. Just there.
If it's paid off.
Exactly. Yeah, that too.
So nationwide, the tribes are trying to move forward into this field that is far from settled legally.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in the concern that they've got is, hey, if we put all our eggs into this basket, what if the Justice Department starts cracking down.
Yep.
What are you going to do then? Mm-hmm. Some tribes missed out on the casino and gambling area. So this is an opportunity they see. They don't want to be the last to the boat, but at the same time, you are risking quite a bit.
You are, but you also have to diversify because you can't always just have, because then guess what? You have Native Americans synonymous with gambling all the time. And then that becomes its own perpetual stereotype again.
Yeah. And not all tribes are doing well
right.
in the gambling. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. For example, you've got the Squaxin Island and the Suquamish who have state compacts to enter, the marijuana marketplace. Six other tribes waiting in line this spring. I mean, they still have to, you know, follow all of the legal hurdles, mm-hmm. but, For example, the San Diego in San Diego County, the small Lipe Nation opted to embrace marijuana in May because they had to shutter their casino,
yep.
which had accrued about $50 million in debt. So they're hoping they're going to be a little bit more successful doing this. And I hope so, too.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
you know, what can you do?
Mm-hmm.
Do your best, I guess. And I think it's a risk worth taking.
Yeah.
Because the country is going there.
Yeah.
Whether you like it or not,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
so I hope the Justice Department does not do what everyone is concerned about. But with the current administration, you just never know.
Right, right.
All right. So when we come back from our break, we're going to talk about Chief Wahoo. Chief Wahoo. You know, there's a lot. We talked recently about the names not being offensive, you know, like, you know, who cares? Chief Wahoo, I think, is in a different league when compared to, like, the Redskins.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we're going to talk about that. There's a fella named Robert Roche who has been very, very opposed to Chief Wahoo and has led a lot of protest against him. And, yeah, he's in the news now for a different issue, which we'll talk about. And we also have a racist tapestry completed by Prince Charles of Wales.
Oh, boy.
That is being denounced by Native Americans. He's over in England. They are not really concerned about what we have to say, but we'll see what you think when we get to that story. Well, we'll be back in just a moment with more stimulating Native Talk Radio right here at NativeTalk.net.
NativeTalk.net radio program with Cliff and Brandon, bouncing 1.21 gigawatts of radio goodness off the newly repaired Hubble Space Telescope. Whoops. Now grab your nets and let's go fishing.
Hi, this is Cliff.
And this is Brandon.
And this is the NativeTalk.net radio podcast. The greatest podcast ever produced.
Whoa, wait a minute. What?
What do you mean?
I'm pretty sure we're not the greatest podcast ever produced. I mean, have you heard of Serial?
No.
Cracked Podcast?
No.
Or Surprisingly Awesome?
No. Okay. The NativeTalk.net radio podcast. The greatest podcast ever produced that I have actually listened to. So visit us online at nativetalk.net and tell your friends to download a few shows because, well, apparently we need it.
Yeah, if you ever want to measure up with podcasts that are actually good, like The Bugle with John Oliver or WTF with Mark Maron or
Hard. In 1924, the United States granted citizenship to all Native Americans born in the U.S.
The right to vote, however, was governed by state law, and some of those states barred Native Americans from voting until 1957.
Today, American Indians, Alaska Natives, and Native Hawaiians are asserting themselves with political candidates, getting involved in understanding issues, and registering to vote.
Be part of the rising political clout of Native voters.
Let your voice be heard. Register to vote.
How do you get 10 teachers to agree on the best teaching method?
Shoot 9 of them.
You're listening to the English Express radio podcast.
Dadgummit. This is not the English Express radio podcast. That's another podcast that I do. This one is NativeTalk.net. But interesting that we have that mistake in there, because I do want to talk about teachers. All right. do you remember what it was like to have a substitute teacher in school?
I remember being a different person the entire time because I always said that I was my best friend and my best friend said it was me. So
yeah, and everybody thinks that is the most hilarious thing ever, yeah, right?
And it's so sophomoric when you get like outside, you're like, that dude was just trying to do his job so he could keep his lights on like Brandon.
Right? But everyone's an idiot when the substitute comes to town.
It's like a free pass to just be a total idiot. Yeah, like you were saying.
And what about the substitute teacher? These are not kids that he's like has a necessarily a relationship with.
Right.
He knows he's a short timer. Mm-hmm. And even if you're like this fella, do I have his name? Okay, they're not giving his name.
That's rightly so, because hold on to your seats for this one.
This is a woman, okay, not giving her name, but she is what they call a long-term substitute.
Okay.
So the regular teacher is on maternity leave. So you got, you know, what, 4 or 6 weeks, something like that. So at least you can, like, you're still the substitute, you're still going away, but at least you can build some kind of a rapport with these
You can
students.
Give a test and grade it at the same time.
So this teacher, she's looking to build that rapport, and she's kind of wanting to teach them about, you know, history and you know, how things used to be.
Oh boy!
And you know there've been a lot of relevant news stories, a lot of things going on in the world about Nazis.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean that's out there, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of Nazi stuff. What's going on with that, with Nazis? Where are they coming from?
I don't know.
Who stands up and says, "Yes, I am a Nazi," Sig Heil, you know?
I don't know. I have no idea, but even with that whole Charleston thing that just happened recently, that was freaking crazy. People who did come out on the Nazi side are now starting to like lose their jobs because they've now revealed publicly.
Well, when you go out and identify yourself as a Nazi,
yeah.
There's
going to be some backlash.
I'm a strong proponent of free speech. Free speech still comes with consequences.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, this teacher down in Georgia decided that she was going to teach her children a hands-on news story, you know, news thing by teaching them the Nazi salute.
Oh boy.
Okay. The superintendent happened to walk by the window as he saw all of the children in a group standing with their arm out in front of them. The teacher was in the modeling position, raised her arm slightly and said, "And now we say, Hail Hitler."
Oh my God.
Kirsch, the superintendent, says, "I'm at a loss on the entire thing. People are shocked. The substitute teacher was fired, surprisingly enough."
No.
Fortunately, the maternity teacher has been out on leave. She is scheduled to return, so she's back in school, and the other one is gone. Apparently, the substitute has been at the school regularly for years and had not been the subject of any complaints, but... yeah, I don't know how many complaints you need when you're teaching the children the Nazi salute.
Oh, and how many times do you not walk past that window and what information has been taught?
You know what I mean? You're like, my God, if she's teaching that, what else is she teaching?
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, man. All right, so Chief Wahoo.
Mm-hmm.
You know the symbol, Cleveland
Indian, yep.
What is offensive about Chief Wahoo as opposed to although I know a lot of folks are offended by the Redskins, what can you say is the difference between the football Redskins team and the Cleveland Indians baseball team?
You know what, I think they're offensive on two separate angles or two separate entities. One, the Redskins, it's just based off of a term that is otherwise derogatory and is known to be derogatory, and it's being enforced. Chief Wahoo, on the other hand, you know, there's a reason why they don't let Looney Tunes play anymore. and Chief Wahoo,
he looks like a Looney Tune
character. He looks like a Looney Tune character.
I mean, at least the Redskins logo is like a proud native, whereas Chief Wahoo has a giant cartoon smile.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Cleveland Indians, the name of the team doesn't bother me. It's their mascot, dude. Mm. It's their mascot.
Oahu is, he's his own character. He's stuck in a time when it was, you know, when it was okay to do that.
Well, he's
things.
Next. I mean, the reason why the Redskins are getting all the press is because they're the big dogs in town. Mm-hmm. I mean, nothing is bigger than football these days.
Right.
So, you know, of course you go after them first, but the Cleveland Indians mascot is much worse. Mm-hmm. Well, Robert Roche has been spearheading that effort. Mm-hmm. And let's see here. Get there in the story. So the anti-Wahoo movement has been gaining traction during the Indians' appearance in the World Series. Yeah, they were in the World Series last year.
That's right.
When national news organizations highlighted the logo that Indian players wore on their uniform sleeves. That attention did force Major League Baseball Commissioner Robert Manfred to talk to the Indians' owners about Chief Wahoo. So they're having the discussions. Mm-hmm. Now, Manfred, the commissioner, has signaled he's no fan of the logo, said just this last June, the issue's been tabled till the end of the current season, at which point they're going to talk about it.
Need to address it.
Now,
yeah.
Roche has an organization, and he's applied for what they call a Circle of Care grant, which was offered through the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration. Okay, so he's trying to get money to help natives, get them off of substance abuse, get them better with mental health, as well as fight things that are offensive to them, you know, trying to help everybody out.
Mm-hmm.
Problem is, his application contained false statements, including a claim that his center had a wellness department, which it did not.
Okay.
A positive pass after school program, which it did not. No such department or program existed, according to criminal charges.
Oh, boy.
Roche's application also fraudulently listed as employees, people the center never hired, ghost employees, friends, family, and mischaracterized the description of the storefront building and its physical amenities, according to the charges. And you always know that there's a problem when somebody is claiming, I don't know, like a... Like they say, hey, you know, down in this foreign country, I've got an orphanage,
right,
and they're raising money. It doesn't exist,
right? Yeah,
you know, problems there,
right? Right.
So I would say that Robert Roche and Chief Wahoo, they've got something in common. They both misrepresent Native Americans.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what though, as ghost employees, you don't got to give them a vacation time or anything like that. So.
Oh man. I read the story a while back about a guy who noticed that, I mean, he's a state worker and he's been going to work every day and mm-hmm. he was doing his job and he noticed. Have you ever had one of those jobs you feel like you're just doing busy work?
Yeah,
like, I'm
all
not
day
really,
long.
Like, what am I here for? What's I'm not getting anything accomplished. I'm doing work, but nothing, it doesn't matter.
Pushing paper across the desk.
So he decided to stay home. And he stayed home for like 25 years or something, collecting this really decent paycheck. And finally, like the city manager stopped by his office to give him a plaque for his years of service. And they're like, hey, where'd the guy go? And they're like, I don't know. I haven't seen him in years.
Oh, my God.
He was like relaxing on beaches and stuff like that.
Employee.
He just quit showing up. Yeah, he was getting Employee of the Year.
Your record of attendance is impeccable. Like, it feels like you're always busy. I never see you anymore.
Well, Roche, who is a Chiriquois Apache Indian, has earned wide attention for demonstrating against the red-faced Big Tooth Chief Wahoo. But, yeah, that cheating of fellow Native Americans. I mean, this guy is Native,
mm-hmm.
you know, but he has no problem stealing from his own people.
Yeah.
$80,000 that he's secured through a federal grant earmarked for mental health and wellness programs.
$80,000 or one college degree in some instances.
Yeah. Well, guess what? It doesn't end there. There were also questions about the American Indian Education Center that Roche land in Parma and used to collect more than $1.4 million in government grants.
Oh, boy.
Apparently, the center's primary activity was listed as providing re-entry services, Nobody knows what the hell that means. And he paid himself $153,000 a year in salary, plus benefits.
Of course.
So, and whatever else he was stealing. It's always terrible when somebody who is supposed to be, you know, helping, turns out that they're horrible human beings.
Pretty much.
Unfortunately, they're all over the place.
Yeah.
You know, I think if you are stealing from people who are disadvantaged, you are almost one of the worst people on earth.
You've certainly secured your place in hell, is what you've done.
God damn it. So, yeah, he's not doing the Chief Wahoo fight any favors. All right, last story here. How do you feel about, like, tapestries? You know what a tapestry is, right?
Mm-hmm. I used to have a bunch of them in college. I used to hang up over my walls and over my windows and things.
And England is famous for their tapestries, aren't they?
I guess. I don't know. I've always known just tea, crumpets, and bad food. But yeah.
They do a lot of tapestries, you know, telling history, telling stories and stuff like that.
Gotcha. Okay.
I'm going to show you a portion of this tapestry and tell me if you see any problems with it.
All right. Let's see here.
Right there. Look at that picture.
Okay.
What do you see exactly?
First thing I see is a conquistador just stabbing a Native American.
In the mouth? Is that one?
I think it's in the mouth. Yeah, it could be in the mouth. Yeah.
I noticed that one too.
And then it looks as if... Well, that's pretty much the only thing that's standing out to me. It looks like there's, you know, a lot of little tribes and a lot of little areas where the natives would be. Kind of looks like kind of like a wigwam, honestly.
Now, of course, England famously had the colonies.
Yes.
So what happened over here was them. So it's not like it's not a part of their history.
Right. Right.
But I don't know. I might have a slight issue with their depictions.
It actually even has here like spring, June 10. What does it say here? Something about pulling an Indian chief. It says something in here in a tapestry. Like they actually have like a step-by-step, if you will, of when they invaded.
Their histories.
Yeah.
Yeah. These are histories with the conquistadors.
Which is interesting because conquistadors are from Spain. So why?
Well, they call it the New World Tapestry. And it debuted 17 years ago. Now they've, to their credit, it's been like kind of put away.
Mm-hmm.
But they've recently started digitizing it and like publishing the pictures. So even though it's not like on display,
mm-hmm.
they're like, you can still see it online.
Gotcha. Okay. So they like they've made it, then they hid it, and now they're just taking photos of the hidden tapestry.
Yeah, this is 267 feet long.
Oh my god!
So it is huge, and it depicts.
I can't put a 267 piece puzzle together. I'm going to do a 267 foot long tapestry.
Well, you know, when you're in England, they have to do something with all of those castle walls.
Okay, yeah, I guess very true. Yeah.
I mean, what else are they going to do with them? Otherwise, they're looking at the plain gray brick.
Very true.
So, you know, tell your history. This depicts the violent history of English colonization from 1583 to 1642. And relies on cartoon images of decapitated Native Americans and English settlers with tomahawks to tell the story. This was started in 1980, all right, took 20 years to complete, and had contributions from the Queen herself. I mean, this is what the royals do. They have nothing else to do with their time, so they're like, well, I think I'm going to embroider a tapestry.
You know what? I would love a spot of tea while I sew a bit more blood onto this tapestry.
The Duke of Edinburgh, Queen Mother Elizabeth, and the Prince of Wales, and 256 other royal volunteers contributed to this massive project. Prince Charles of Wales, in fact, added the final stitch way back in the year 2000, making it the largest stitch embroidery in the world.
How do you get those volunteers? You're like, can you just sew a good... you know what? I don't like the stab wound size on this. Can you make it a little larger? You know what I mean? Like, how do you...
This doesn't seem gory enough. Where's all the blood, exactly. Man?
Like, I want a tomahawk right to the back of this person's scalp right here. Like, this is where I want this.
So, they are shockingly receiving complaints for depicting Native Americans as subhuman and warlike savages.
Mm-hmm.
Now, look, I kind of understand if this is like a piece of history.
Right.
From like the 1700s or the 1600s where people put it, because that's the way they saw it back
right.
then.
Right.
Okay. 1980? Really? Finishing in 2000?
Other than terrible montages and bad clothes. You don't, there's no depiction. There shouldn't be any kind of a depiction of that.
So the royals, though, are fighting back. They say, oh, Pip, Pip, unfortunately, too many Americans form their misinformed opinions of the native people based on inaccurate, harmful depictions of who we supposedly were and are as somehow less than other Americans. Oh, wait, maybe this guy was native. I'm not reading very well. I thought that was a British guy. That was a Native American, an Indian, and he doesn't talk with a British accent. No Pip Pips.
To our knowledge, to our knowledge.
So he's angry. He's like, basically, his point was Americans look at this and they're going to like get bad opinion. Well, you know what? I do find it somewhat offensive, but if people are getting their ideas about you from a tapestry like this, you're not doing your job.
Right, right. Well, you're misinformed in the first place, so...
So do a better job of putting your own culture out there.
Right.
Do a good job of inviting people to your powwows. Mm-hmm. Have your own cultural center. Mm-hmm. Teach people the right way.
Exactly.
This is racist, but it's not really hurting anybody. It's like, in a drawer.
It's 2,000 miles away on a little island that they had originally oppressed everybody inside of this country at one point. It didn't matter who you were. They oppressed you anyway. So... I mean, is it bad? Absolutely. Should it be downplayed? I don't think so. Is it the most harmful thing that I've ever seen?
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe so at all.
Yeah. Now, this is what British people do say. They say, it's not racist. What's racist about it? The colonists were continually being bumped off, Pip Pip. Now I can do my English accent. And quite reasonably, if somebody invaded your territory and wanted to take it, you would fight back. Of course, this is a very accurate depiction. The natives were defending their land and we're just putting it on a beautiful tapestry. This isn't racist at all.
The only tapestry part that I saw was a conquistador stabbing a Native American in the mouth. I don't know, where is the fight back? You know what I mean?
Oh, Jesus Christ. So, yeah. So that's what's going on. I see the problem, but to the natives who have a problem about this because of the ideas that people would get, like I said before, do a better job of showing the real history. You can't rely on everyone else to do your job for you.
It's like plopping your kid in front of a television and then expecting them to, you know, not mimic what they see. It's just what's going to happen.
You have to take an active role.
Yeah. If you only have one frame of reference and that's the only thing that you can go off of, then of course opinions are going to be set.
Yeah. And racist things. This is the thing that the problem that I have about everybody getting like so PC about this. They think that if they eliminate all of the offensive stuff, that it's going to change everybody's perception. Not true.
No.
That is not true at all. You have to take an active role, and you're not going to get the thoughts out of people's brains. You have to actively work to change their hearts and minds.
Right.
That is the only way that you're going to get true acceptance.
Well, and not only that, but if you give this portrayal of something, then you immediately pull it away. And you don't allow somebody to form their own opinion about it or have an opposite opinion or even be able to completely research the topic, then they just have one idea, it's been formed for them, and there's no counter offer. There's not really a counter offer or a counterbalance to it. So you can't form an opinion, so then guess what? It stays stuck with you.
Exactly. And that's why I don't think that there's a problem with having... Because, look, it's not like it's horrendously racist.
Right.
It's inaccurate.
Mm-hmm.
It's got, you know, making it look like the natives are savages and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you put that aside, side by side with the reality, you can create this contrast and people can see both sides of that coin.
That's exactly it.
And there's a place for that stuff because you don't want to bury... You don't want to bury the... you know what? Hang on a second. I got to play this one just because it reminds me. We played this last night.
Besides its beautiful historic architecture, Munich was the home of many great writers, such as Thomas Mann. You'll find more on Germany's contribution to the arts in the pamphlets we have provided.
Yeah, about your pamphlet, I'm not seeing anything about German history between 1939 and 1945. There's just a big gap.
Everyone was on vacation! On your left is Munich's first city hall, erected in 15...
Wait, what are you talking about? Germany invaded Poland in 1939, and...
We were invited! Punch was served! Check was Poland!
Well, you can't just ignore those years. Thomas Mann fled to America because of Nazism's stranglehold on Germany.
Nope. He left to manage a Dairy Queen.
A Dairy Queen? That's preposterous.
I will hear no more insinuations about the German people! Nothing bad happened! Sie werden sich hinsetzen! Sie werden ruhig sein! Sie werden nicht beleidigen Deutschland!
Is that a beer hall?
Oh, yes. Oh, Munich is renowned for its historic beer halls.
So, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You start to whitewash everything, scrub it. Are you really changing history?
No.
History happened.
Yep.
And you counter it with like, hey, we're not that way anymore. Natives are, you know, you can teach true native culture and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You can start to get people, wrap people's minds around the fact that they were not one homogenous culture,
right?
Across the, you know, from sea to shining sea.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
They were a rich and varied people.
But you can't do that if you just try to sweep it all underneath the rug and say, oh, this never happened between like 1939 and 1945. Like, it just never happened.
Yeah,
nothing happened.
In my opinion, people who are putting out inaccuracies and stuff like that, that seems like a jumping point to me.
Yep, because then you can counter it. You can counter it and say, no, this didn't happen. No, it didn't happen this way. There is some truths to it, but if it's 10%, if it's like a 1 out of 10th truth, like there's so many other parts that have to go into it that you are not addressing. And if you don't address those things, guess what? They just reoccur.
I'm reminded of a phrase that I've heard many times. There's no such thing as bad press.
Nope.
All press is good press, even if it's bad, because it draws attention to the topic, and then you can start to take that and frame it the way you want, and you can start to take control of the narrative.
Exactly.
And so I would be excited about the fact that they're talking about this England, because it's an open door.
Mm-hmm.
Don't shut that door. Invite people into it.
Exactly.
So that's how I feel.
Exactly.
So, any other comments before we go?
No. I think I am all good.
All right. Well, thank you guys for listening today. That'll do it for us. But we will be back next week with more stimulating Native Talk Radio, available online at nativetalk.net. We do hope you'll share the show with your friends. Send them to our website and use that phone number, 970-278-5791, to leave us interesting voice messages. Please do better than the call that I played at the beginning. All right, guys. See you next week.
You're listening to Native Talk. Eating nails, drinking gunpowder soup, and listening to the Puyallup Tribal Podcast. Full blast.